The Boston Celtics win their 8th straight game. Gordon Hayward's going to be out for 6 weeks. And Marcus Smart would like to stop getting kicked in the groin. It's the Locked On Celtics podcast. Let's go, Millie.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. I'm on mama. I'm on my baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global, but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Seas, it's the best way. Melly.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales, MassLive.com. I cover this team on a daily basis, and I'm here with this podcast on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. It's free. It's here for you when you start your day, assuming most of you are on the East Coast. If you're around the world, which a lot of you are, it starts at a different time, but whatever time it is, whatever you're doing, thank you. I appreciate you. I really love that you make this show part of your daily routine. Let's start things off with the Boston Celtics beating the Dallas Mavericks 116-106. Another game, that really felt like they would lose last year. They gave up a lead. They led by as much as 14 points in this game. They gave it up in the fourth quarter. The Dallas Mavericks looked like they were on a roll. Luka Doncic was cooking. And then Kemba Walker took over. Three straight threes. And as soon as he hit that first one, man, you knew he was going to start cooking. Kemba Walker finished the game with 29 points on 9 of 17 shooting. 8 of 14 from 3. 8 of 14 from 3. That is a crazy number. 14 three-pointers blows my mind. Marcus Smart was 4 of 7 from 3. The Boston Celtics were 15 of 35 from 3. And that, I think, is basically kind of where the difference in this game was, because the Dallas Mavericks were 11 of 42. And so they were bombing away. In a way, the Celtics were lucky in this game because the Mavericks were kind of cold to start the game. The Celtics came out cooking. The early part of this game was, I think, highlighted by the fact that the Celtics were kind of getting to the rim at will. They were scoring on alley-oops. They were really just pick and rolling Dallas to death. And there was nothing that Dallas was doing to stop them. They weren't even trying to stop them. Putting Porzingis in the pick and roll was just, I mean, gold for the Celtics, at least early on. They got an early dunk from Robert Williams. They got some early dunks from Daniel Tice, who injured his finger. Seemed like a dislocation or a jam. Seems fine. But early on, it was attacking the rim and getting those points. Jaylen Brown had a really nice game, did a lot of his damage in the middle quarters. He had 8 points in the second quarter. He had 9 in the third quarter. So 17 of his 25 points came in that middle two quarters. He did step up a little bit in the fourth quarter. He had a couple of baskets there. But he kind of held things together in the middle of the game and did a terrific job, I think, again, of hitting shots and creating his offense and finding ways to attack. I thought he was just really good again in this game. Overall, 9 of 16 shooting, 11 rebounds to go along with his 25 points. The only thing I can really criticize him for was a couple of times where he bit on ball fakes again. That's the last kind of bastion for Jaylen Brown. But Jalen was great. Kemba Walker, again, was great. 9 of 17 shooting, 8 of 14 from 3, 29 points. 24 of those points came in the second half. 24 of those points came in the second half. So Kemba didn't start off very well, shot 2 of 6 in the first half, came on in the second half, and in the fourth quarter really had did a lot of his damage, scoring 10 points there. Three of those baskets that he made were three-pointers that were all in rapid succession that really put this game kind of out of reach. It was the Mavericks had made a run, and they actually took a lead, and Kemba just came up and just boom, 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 put that thing to bed. After that, Marcus Smart in the fourth quarter hit a bunch of shots to really salt this thing away. He had a couple of threes and an and one, a drive and an and one, a tough and one. And he did a great job along with Kemba to close this game out. Other good notables in this game, Brad Wanamaker, I thought was really, really solid with 10 points, 4 rebounds, a couple of assists. He just earned everything that he got out there. I felt like he just kept getting knocked around, but he kept on going, which was impressive to see. Javonte Green, 9 points on 4 of 8 shooting. A nice night for him, just kind of filling in those gaps for Gordon Hayward, who we'll talk about in the second segment. So Javonte stepped up. Robert Williams offensively rolling to the basket, had some weight, had some gravity. But switching over to some of the negatives in this game, he got lost way too often defensively. It was, I think, just a little bit of a regression from that San Antonio game where he was great. In this game, he had one block. He had another goaltend. But more importantly, he lost Dwight Powell, I think, very often, especially in the first half. I think Dwight Powell was getting open dunk after open dunk. And in the first half, he had 8 points on 4 of 4 shooting. I believe those were all dunks that in the first quarter, I remember just looking at Robert Williams and rewatching some of those plays during a commercial break and saying, what is he doing? What are you doing out there? So it's not to nitpick on Robert Williams. It's just to say that he's still got a lot to learn. And I like that he's getting those reps. We saw Enes Kanter come back, but only play a few minutes in this game. Not even 6 minutes in this game. Only took the one shot, which was a jumper, which is he hit. But didn't play much. Brad tried to downplay it as a minutes kind of restriction and saying we weren't going to play a whole lot. But I think this is more matchup based because there was no way Enes Kanter was going to be able to stay, especially without being in game shape. There was no way that Enes Kanter was going to be able to stay in front of Luka Doncic and defend those pick and rolls. So they went a different direction. I think, and Brad Stevens did say afterwards, a little bit of both, a little bit about the matchup, a little bit about the conditioning and just the continued recovery from the injury. But I think Robert Williams got lost a little too much defensively in this game. He was a minus 14 overall. So in a game that the Celtics won by 10, being a minus 14, I know individual plus minus in games isn't the biggest indicator of, it's always not always the most accurate thing, but in this one where all of the starters were big pluses and most of the bench was relatively small minus, which makes sense. Your big pluses are your starters that are out there doing what they do. You win by 10. So Jason Tatum, still a plus 16, Jaylen Brown plus 12, Tice plus 27. Like all these guys, that Kemba plus 18 counteracts the Grant Williams minus 7, Javonte Green minus 5, Brad Wanamaker minus 7. Like out there, those guys are out there to hold the fort. And in 21 minutes, if you lose by 7 as Brad Wanamaker, that's okay because in those minutes that Marcus Smart is playing, you win by 13. So that's supposed to counteract what these guys on the bench are supposed to do. They're not supposed to always give you the plus minutes. You'd love them to give plus minutes. That's what happens in blowouts. What you're hoping to do is to minimize how bad things are. Like, let's face it, Javonte Green, I like Javonte Green. He's a really good guy, and he's really seemingly appreciative of this moment. But he's a 27-year-old rookie and still trying to figure things out. So him being a minus five on the night, that's not the worst thing in the world. Goes out there, plays hard, keeps you sort of close until these other guys. You're basically stealing minutes with these guys on the floor until the other guys come in and do what they're supposed to do. But Robert Williams being a minus 14, I think that actually does say something just from what I saw. And that number makes sense to me. So that's fine. It's not fine, but Robert Williams, this is what he's going to be. Some nights he's going to be a minus 14. Sometimes he's going to be a plus whatever. And that's the give and take. So he'll figure things out. I do believe in Robert Williams, even though people continue to bust my balls about my G League take. I've always believed that Robert Williams can be productive and important for this team. Jason Tatum, a 1-for-18 night. I bring him up last, even though he was out there and it was a plus 16. He did get some minutes on Luka. He did get some minutes. I thought he was really trying to defend very hard. I thought he was playing very hard. He obviously has a lot of problems right now finishing at the rim. I continue to believe that he's taking the right shots, and I continue to believe that he can figure things out. I think he's kind of where Jaylen Brown was a year ago when it comes to attacking and finishing the rim a little bit. I see some of the similarities. He's just not finishing very well. And that's going to have to change. I think it's going to change. I feel like it's not sustainable. Like, shooting 1-of-15 from 2 is not something that's sustainable for Jason Tatum. He's just too good a shooter to have that kind of number. Brad Stevens said after the game that he's just not going to lose sleep over a bad shooting night. And I believe him. I believe him. And whether Tatum takes that next step or not, this particular shooting night is not going to be the indicator of anything. What Tatum needs to do is stop flying at the rim and be a little bit more in control, so the layups aren't too hard off the backboard. He just needs to be in a little bit better control when he attacks, when he drives. And I think that'll come. I just think that's something that's kind of next for him. And the mentality is in the right place. I think most of the shots come from the right place. And so I'm going to follow Brad's kind of lead on this. Guys miss shots. Everybody who's played has had a bad shooting night. And some of the best in the game have had shooting nights that are almost as bad as this. Some of them have had worse shooting nights. So go out there, shoot the right shots. If they don't fall, they don't fall. Do other stuff. Defend. He rebounded 8 rebounds. He had 4 assists. Only 3 fouls. He shot 3-of-4 from the line. He did other things. Just a horrible shooting night. That's going to happen. So I'm really not too worried about that. But at the same time, I am watching exactly what the progression of Tatum's rim attacks are. Like, I just kind of want to see what's next. And I believe that he can get there. It's a long season, and we'll see. Maybe it's something that he has to wait a full season to figure out. That would not be ideal for the Celtics, but as long as he's attacking and doing the right things, the worst thing for Tatum would be for him to regress and start taking some of the contested long twos, and that's not what they want. That's not what the Celtics want. That's not what he wants. So we'll continue to watch it, but for now, I'm not going to overreact to a 1-for-18 shooting night, as horrible I mean, as historic, it's a historically bad night. It's the probably the worst game of his life. So, but just you can't overreact to missed shots. When we come back, Gordon Hayward out for 6 weeks. What does that mean? Who gets those nods? What did we learn from this game? We'll talk about it next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Gordon Hayward had surgery on Monday to repair the fractured fourth metacarpal on his left hand. That's the bone in the palm below the ring finger. So that was surgically repaired. I assume they put a plate to hold the bone together so he could heal faster. They say approximately 6 weeks. It could be less, but knowing these Celtics now with their injury reporting, they're probably going to give us the long range on this. And if he comes back earlier, great. But if he doesn't come back earlier and it becomes 6 weeks, so be it. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back earlier, but that's just my guess. So here the Celtics are. They played in this game against the Dallas Mavericks without Gordon Hayward. We got to see Javonte Green for 13 minutes. We got 21 minutes of Brad Wanamaker. I think you're starting to see a little bit of an idea of what the Celtics are going to do. And Brad Stevens said before the game, could just be the flavor of the day. And we were joking with Jay King and Tom Westerholm and those guys who were sitting there during the game and saying that Brad said flavor, it could be the flavor of the minute. It could just be whoever's hot, whatever matchup he thinks works in that moment. Javonte Green showed some things. He was one of three from three. Him being able to hit a corner three would be nice, which he did. And if he can continue to do that, that would be great. He will attack. He will slash. He will give the Celtics an element of that. And all of these guys, we joked about this with the center spot. If you could Voltron these guys together, they would make a great center. If you could Voltron these guys together behind Gordon Hayward, they would kind of make a Gordon Hayward to some reasonable facsimile. Like, obviously, Javonte is much more athletic, but the slashing guy who can dunk on people is Javonte Green. The guy who can see the floor and make the right passes and make the right play, a solid playmaker, is Brad Wanamaker. The guy who can shoot and space the floor, that's Carson Edwards. And you can roll all of that into a strong guy that can work out of the post in Grant Williams, although Gordon is not exactly a post player, but he has strength and he can work in different ways. But all of those guys, to some degree, bring one element of what Gordon Hayward is going to bring. And so now with a possible 6 weeks without Gordon Hayward, Brad Stevens is going to try to figure out, well, what element of his game do we need right now? Do we need the slashing score? Okay, Javonte is going to get those minutes. The thing I like about Javonte Green is he's fearless. He's confident. He will attack. If he feels like he can break whomever it is in front of him, doesn't care, then he'll go do it. You know, Javonte is a guy who's really worked his ass off to get to this point in his career. He's 26, and this is his first real chance in the NBA. He has an appreciation that other guys don't have, that he may have come out of college thinking that he was a hot shit, but guess what? Didn't work out that way. So you got to go overseas and pay your dues and really work a different kind of a path to the NBA. Now here he is. He's appreciative of this moment. He enjoys this moment. He really does. Just, you know, little inside stuff from that I see, that sitting on the baseline at 5 p.m. before a game when no one else is in the gym, it's just a few of us reporters, Javonte and Vincent Poirier, and like the Celtics dancers practicing at midcourt. And he's out there just having fun, coming over, saying hi, just enjoying this moment. I thought, you know, these little things are telling of where his head is. And I think that's important for a guy in this position that the Celtics are going to rely on. Like him being able to play free and enjoy the moment and just kind of like whoever's in front of me, I'm just going to deal with and not be starstruck by it. Just like, look, I'm going to break you down. If I can get by you, I don't care what your name is. I'm going to get by you. And he does a good job of that. When the Celtics need more playmaking, and they're going to need more playmaking because Marcus Smart's going to be in the starting lineup. And an interesting substitution pattern in this game for Brad Stevens, because he, in the first quarter, left Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker in the game and took out Tatum and Brown and Tice and put in Wanamaker and Green and Grant Williams, which I thought was kind of wild. And it was Green, Williams, maybe Robert Williams. Wanamaker came in later. My point being that Brad Stevens left Smart and Walker on the floor and trotted out these weird lineups that kept his two primary ball handlers on the floor throughout the first quarter and really showed that Wanamaker was going to get those minutes as the kind of third playmaker, which he's been getting somewhat, but Gordon Hayward is also that guy. So when the Celtics need to rely on someone else to kind of run an offense, it's going to be Brad Wanamaker. And the thing about Wanamaker is that he's solid. He's not great, but he's solid. He's big, strong guy, and he's going to go out there, and he's not going to screw up. Like, he might not make all of the plays, but he's not going to go out there and make a lot of the wrong plays. And that's important in these moments, that you have guys out there that aren't going to kill you, because you can roll Brown and Tatum and Smart and Walker and either Tice or Rob or Cantor and have a pretty potent lineup. And with Tice in there, you're really showing that you can be a pretty good defensive team. Those are the lineups that are going to get you big pluses in those plus minuses, like I was saying before. But Wanamaker going out there and playing somewhat even a little on the negative side, as long as his negatives aren't huge, then you can rely on your starters to go out there and get you those big positives. So Wanamaker being a solid playmaker, that's going to be somebody that they rely on. Carson Edwards, theoretically, Carson Edwards can be the shooter that can go out there and space the floor. He hasn't shown that yet. He's obviously shown that he can do it at a little bit of a lower level. Like, I think if Carson Edwards went into a main Red Claws game, he'd probably drop 40. Now, the question is, can he do that here? And he's shown it. If you do it in Cleveland, if you play in Cleveland, he'll get you your 40. But doing it elsewhere, I want to see that progression from Carson Edwards. He's a rookie, okay? Second round pick. He's got that skill set. He's working hard. I know he's trying. And whatever he does on the floor, as long as he's not hurting the team, that's great. But hopefully he can go out there and space the floor and hit a couple of threes. So right now, he's going to be the guy that they look to. We'll see what happens. Kind of a tenuous hold in that position. Shemi Ojeleye is going to try to get some minutes, but I'm past Shemi Ojeleye at this point. I'm sorry. I know I've been a believer in him, but I'm just not seeing it anymore from him. This season, I don't know if it's a step backwards or what. He's really the only guy in this team that's disappointing. Everyone else is at or above expectations. So, and then of course the last guy here, in the Gordon Hayward kind of who steps up is Grant Williams, who got some minutes here, not many, 7 minutes. He'll have the right matchups. In certain matchups, he'll do very well. In other matchups, he's got some learning to do as well. Again, rookie, late first round pick. He can do some things. Missed the 3-point attempt. Again, I think he's 0 of 13 on the season. Now, hopefully he can hone in that shot. If he can start hitting threes, then he'll become much more valuable. So obviously, it's going to take a lot of help to make up for Gordon Hayward's absence. We'll see how the Celtics play it. It's going to be really on a game-to-game basis. Some guys might get DMPs, and then the next day they get 20 minutes. That's just how it's going to be. When we come back, Marcus Smart would like to stop getting kicked in the nuts. More Locked On Celtics next. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I'm not going to mince words here. Marcus Smart has been getting his ass kicked. And I say this not in a negative way, because he's been kicking ass every single game, it seems. But at the same time, he keeps taking these shots. Just Porzingis tried to rip through, and he caught Smart in the face. Smart keeps getting hit in the face, in the gut, in the whatever, and in the balls. And for the second straight game, he got kicked like directly in the balls. And I asked them about it after the game. And here's the whole exchange. It's short.
Marcus, you seem to be taking a bit of a beating this season.
Yeah, I am. But, you know, it's nothing new for me. I've been taking a beating my whole life. So, but I don't know what it is why I keep getting kicked in the groin. I don't know what it is about that. So, we got to figure out a solution to stop that. But like I said, you know, I'm used to it. It's what I do, and you know, I pride myself.
Credit Marcus Smart for going out there and giving up the body. I mean, just it's wild. It's more than most humans would endure, but he's out there doing it. But I'm sure he'd like to do it without getting kicked in the nuts. But to a more serious point here, when it comes to Marcus Smart, he is guarding bigs over and over and over again. And one thing that really stood out in this game was how often the Mavericks tried to get Porzingis to switch onto Marcus Smart. Like, they actively seemed to seek out that matchup, and it doesn't work. There are some guys who can post Marcus up, a couple, probably like three in the league. Everyone else, it's a fool's errand. Other teams continue to say, hey, look, mouse in the house. We got Marcus Smart in there. Little guy, got to post the big guy up on the little guy. Look, Marcus Smart is too strong. He gets low. He holds his ground. You can't back him down the way you think you can. And time again, a big tries to back him down and takes the shot. And as soon as he rises up to take a shot, he realizes, oh shit, I'm about a foot and a half further away from the basket than I thought I was going to be. And he misses the shot. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens so much that I wonder, why are teams still trying to post him up? I don't get it. Why are you still trying to post up Marcus Smart? He's very obviously a good defender in that position, in that situation. And you say, okay, he can shoot over him. All right, then shoot over him. But they don't shoot over him. It's not a face-up situation where they shoot over him. It's a try to back him down, make a move, and then try to shoot over him. And that's not going to work. I personally invite all of these other teams to keep on trying, because that helps the Celtics. Marcus Smart said, keep it coming. That's all I got to say. Keep it coming. Marcus Smart is very much inviting more of these bigs to try to test him. There aren't many that are going to do it. There are a few guys in the league, a handful, that can do it. And those guys, sure, if you can do it, then you should. But most guys can't, so you shouldn't. Okay? Kevin Love. I mean, Giannis is going to go get his, like, no one's going to stop Giannis. But Marcus, you can't back him down. Giannis isn't going to back Marcus down. Okay? He might be able to spin off of him from time to time. I mean, that's what he does. He's very good at that. But Marcus, the one thing that really makes Marcus Smart very difficult as a defender, beyond the strength and quickness, it's his preparation. It's his IQ. It's his knowledge. So if he's defending a Giannis Antetokounmpo, he knows that he wants to spin. Same with Pascal Siakam. He knows that you want to spin. He knows what your tendencies are. So he plays you to your tendencies and he tries to take those away. Okay. Now, Marcus Smart's not going to be perfect, but he's obviously a very good defender and he shows time and time again why he's an all NBA defender. It was kind of funny to watch and I felt bad for Marcus Smart taking just a pounding time and time again. Like, Marcus Smart has earned a couple of days off so he can go soak in some Epsom salts or something. But that's not who Marcus Smart is. He's going to go and he's going to continue to play. But just stop kicking him in the groin, please. Like, that's all he asks. I'm going to ask you to subscribe to the podcast. If you are not a regular subscriber, hope you're enjoying it. I'm going to try to keep getting more guests on so it's not just me blathering on for half an hour. But if it is me for half an hour, I hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying it enough at least to subscribe to the podcast. You can tweet me because basically that's my social media of choice. Twitter, RedsArmy_John. You could also tweet the show at LO Celtics or on Instagram at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. You regular subscribers, go ahead and give us that 5-star rating and a good written review. Help this show continue to climb the rankings. It helps tremendously, more than you know. I know I keep saying it, but it really helps more than you know. So do that and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.